Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and this is the Atlanta Urantia Study Group. It's Wednesday, September 19th, 2012, and tonight we're going to continue with our study on paper 109, Relation of Adjusters to Universe Creatures. We're on section 5, Material Handicaps to Adjuster and Dwelling, and that's on page 1199. And let's say a prayer and we'll get started, okay? I'll pray tonight if that's okay with everyone. Father, we thank you for bringing us here again tonight to study this wonderful revelation we have. And we pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds again tonight and help us understand what we read and talk about. And help us expand our horizons to new things and new ideas. Pray that you'll bless all of our families and those listening. Watch over us and help us grow spiritually and spread this wonderful revelation. We have a lifetime to learn this, and it'll probably take every bit of it. But we thank you, and we give you the praise. We thank you for our Creator Son. We thank you for our local universe's created Mother Spirit. We just bless in our lives each day. We thank you and give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let me move over here to another screen so I can see what we're going to study now. Okay. There is some Bible references from the last section I'd like to go over because we kind of didn't get a chance to do it last time. And it was kind of interesting. So I'm going to click on these Bible references from last time. I'm going to read a couple of them to y'all. Let me preface this, kind of bring us back up to speed where we were last time, why I want to do this. We were talking about how adjusters indwell beings on previous planets and how sometimes they choose not to survive. And if they choose not to survive, if that's the case, then their experience goes on with the adjuster, right? And we were discussing how that experience eventually becomes part of our experience because we all have adjusters that have previous experience on this planet, right? So the end of that section, I'm going to click on these Bible references. And we were talking about how I gave you all a couple examples how Jesus said exactly what I'm going to read here. And this is out of Luke 8, 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whoever hath, to him shall be given, and whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even which he seemeth to have. And they're talking about the adjuster there. Isn't that interesting? And this is in Luke. Also in Luke 19, 26, for I say to you that unto every man which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that hath shall be taken away from him. And these are people that choose not to survive. Okay. Then in Mark 4:25, he records it as, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. All right. And
I just saw Frank come online.
Huh?
I just saw Frank come online.
Okay. Yeah. Let me bring him in here. Okay, and then on Matthew 13:12, for whoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. But whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. And Matthew 25:29, for to every one who hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. So that's talking about the adjuster there. I thought that was quite interesting from what we were talking about last time. Frank, you there? I heard this weird sound. I assume it was you.
Yeah. I'm going to talk yourself, so I think I'm...
All right. How you doing?
We've got all seven master spirits,
man. That's right. All the bases covered. Y'all see anybody else pop in there, let me know, and I'll add them to our group tonight. Okay, let's start out with material handicaps to adjuster indwelling. Y'all want me to start reading tonight since I didn't read last time? I kind of
sure
begged out last time.
tell me what paper we're on?
Oh, yeah, we're on paper 109, section 5.
Okay.
Material handicaps to adjuster and dwell, and that's page 1199. Got it? Okay, supreme and self-acting adjusters are often able to contribute factors of spiritual import to the human mind when it flows freely in the liberated but controlled channels of creative imagination. At such times, and sometimes during sleep, the adjuster is able to arrest the mental currents and stay the flow, and then to divert the idea procession, and all this is done in order to effect deep spiritual transformations in the higher recesses of the superconsciousness. Thus are the forces and energies of the mind more fully adjusted to the key of the contacting tones of the spiritual level of the present and the future. Okay, and this is, I found this interesting because they're talking about here, in the liberated, freely in the liberated but controlled channels of creative imagination. In other words, they're saying it's good to have creative imagination, but it should be in a controlled manner. You know, we can't just let our imaginations run wild with us. And that's what it's talking about here. And it talks about that we learn from the adjuster in the superconscious mind. Okay, it's not a conscious thing, right? But we're going to find out here a little bit later, it does say that sometimes you can hear that voice, and it's coming up in the next paragraph or two. Okay.
Are dreams considered superconsciousness?
Dreams are not are considered subconscious. They're not superconscious. Actually, dreams mean absolutely nothing. It's a mishmash of electrical signals and ideas that we got flashing through our minds. Because, you know, all these people that for years they tried to interpret dreams. You know, Freud was a big one on that, you know. And but according to the Urantia book, it means absolutely nothing. It's our electrical signals going crazy, really. You know? So... Well, that's weird. I just got...
the thought adjuster does try to lay down some information while you're sleeping, and sometimes that will perpetuate a very strange dream.
Mm-hmm. It can,
you know, but
you can't take that and
really
go
interpret it.
Right, you can't interpret that as the voice of God talking to you and going out and starting your own church, you know, or try to part the seas or something tomorrow, you know. You may be disappointed, I'm afraid. Yeah.
And I think maybe when they talk about creative imagination, I find that during the times I'm trying to think about something spiritual or think about God or what the future might hold for me, that at those times I seem to get the most from my adjuster.
Uh-huh.
And I think that may be what they mean by creative imagination. You're trying to imagine something higher than where you are now.
Higher spiritual concepts rather than just garbage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with that. And that happens in worship too, often, you know. When we practice worshiping God, not just praying and asking for things and that sort of thing, but actually worshiping God, and we've talked about this before, in our sessions, that many times small voices will come across to you from the adjuster, you know, and concepts and ideas. But even then, you have to be really careful about what you interpret that meaning, right? Because it's easy to skip over that threshold into spiritual fanaticism, right? So, kind of interesting. All right, I found
it also very interesting in here that they mentioned that sometimes during sleep, the adjuster is able to arrest the mental current, the state of flow, and then to divert the idea procession.
Right.
And
that's that dream thing, Bill, too.
Huh?
You know? That's that dream thing, too, also, you know?
Right. And that reminds me of, you know, the time that, you know, I just went into that thing, and that's when I felt like he was really tilling the soil for me to adjust to this book and catch it, you mm-hmm. know?
Maybe so.
That night, that I was like, somebody was taking me all the way back to on this planet to the time of the implantation.
I just lost the audio on Bill.
I can't hear his audio.
And that was really weird.
I just lost Roger.
Hold on, Bill. Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah.
We lost your audio.
Oh.
Hold on to that thought. I'm going to dial everybody back.
He's back. I can hear him.
Oh, can he hear you? Everybody hear Bill now?
Yes.
Yeah? Frank?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, well, go on with your thought, Bill. Sorry.
Anyhow, you know, the thing of it was that it just seemed like the adjuster was giving me so much information and everything else, and I didn't know what to do with it. I thought I was supposed to write a book or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, I discovered the Urantia book, and it just tilled the soil for me to receive the Urantia book.
Yeah, that's great.
And that blows my mind to this day to think about that and how it discussed this very thing in this first paragraph.
Right. I think we lost Frank for a second. I think he's back there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay, I'm back.
Okay. All right. Let's keep moving. It is sometimes possible to have the mind illuminated, to hear the divine voice that continually speaks within you, so that you may become partially conscious of the wisdom, truth, goodness, and beauty of the potential personality constantly indwelling within you.
The potential personality.
That potential personality. Why is it a potential personality and not a personality? It's because the personality comes from us, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's a potential
personality. It's interesting that he's continually speaking.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like he never shuts up.
And it may be because we never listen.
Right.
I keep talking, but no one's hearing.
A good way.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, elsewhere in the book, I've read that the adjuster holds our personality potentials. So that, you know, we have the ability, you know, he has the ability to hold our personality potential so he can monitor our growth to see that we're growing right?
Yeah. And remember, he's the divinity side, too. We're the human side, right? So, yeah, he's holding that divinity side.
Yeah, moving towards spiritual.
That's
know,
right, yeah.
From the human to the Montia to the spiritual.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep going. But your unsteady and rapidly shifting mental attitudes often result in thwarting the plans and interrupting the work of the adjusters. Their work is not only interfered with by the innate natures of the mortal races, but this ministry is also greatly retarded by your own preconceived opinions, settled ideas, and long-standing prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
But because of these handicaps, many times only their unfinished creations merge into consciousness, and confusion of concept is inevitable. Therefore, in scrutinizing mental situations, safety lies only in the prompt recognition of each and every thought and experience for just what it actually and fundamentally is, disregarding entirely what it might have been. You know, that's where we try to interpret something as something that it really isn't. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's where you can end up being a fanatic on something because you've gone off the deep end, right? You got the message wrong to start out through. You might get a message from a jester that is just for you, and you take it for everyone, right? You know, So that's kind of interesting.
You know what's interesting too, Roger, is where it says here that their ministry is greatly retarded by your own preconceived opinions, settled ideas, long-standing prejudices.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, right. in the Bible, it was stated that Jesus said that we come to him, I'm not exactly sure how it was worded, but with the faith of a little child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right. It does not have preconceived ideas or opinions, rather, or settled ideas.
Uh-huh. And prejudices, you know, prejudices, right. We all have them. We, you know, we try to get rid of them, but we can't help.
That's something to work.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's hard to set those things aside and treat everyone equally, you know. But those things get in our way for our adjuster to communicate with us, you know. It's kind of interesting how they always come back to this wisdom, truth, goodness, and beauty, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the things of spiritual value, and we are so wrapped up in the physical, you know, and the opinions and the ideas and things of the physical world, you know. So it's hard to let these ideas of wisdom, truth, beauty, and goodness through, you know.
I like that first sentence that talks about the rapidly shifting mental attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that my mind just is all over the place all the time.
Yeah.
And I've apologized to him many times because for being so hard for him to do his work, because I know it must be with a material brain like ours.
I know it must be working with someone constantly with a split personality or something, because we shift constantly, you know.
Or a little child.
Yeah.
Who can't focus on something and is just bouncing off the walls, you know.
Yeah, really. And that's really what we are, aren't we? We're spiritual children.
Yeah.
You know, you think about it.
Yeah.
An apple description.
Yeah. Okay. The great problem of life is the adjustment of the ancestral tendencies of living to the demands of the spiritual urges initiated by the divine presence of the mystery monitor. While in the universe of and super universes, careers, no man can serve two masters. In the life you now live in Urantia, every man must perforce to serve two masters. He must become adept in the art of continuous human temporal compromise, while he yields spiritual allegiance to but one master, and this is why so many falter and fail, grow weary, and succumb to the stress of the evolutionary struggle. And there's some good Bible references on this. We'll read those after we're done with this. How we can't serve two masters. Jesus talked about this several times. While the heredity legacy of cerebral endowment and that of electrochemical overcontrol both operate to delineate the sphere of efficient adjuster activity, no hereditary handicap in normal minds which ever prevents eventual spiritual achievement. Heredity may interfere with the rate of personality conquest, but it does not prevent eventual consummation of the ascendant adventure. If you will cooperate with your adjuster, the divine gift will sooner or later evolve the immortal Marantia soul, and subsequent to fusion therewith will present the new creature to the sovereign master son of the local universe, and eventually to the father of adjusters on paradise. You know, it's over and over and over in this book. It just blatantly states that you have to go through the Son to get to the Father. That's just all there is to it, you know. Your master son, you know, you have to go by Jesus. You know, people say, well, you run into people all the time, say, I don't know if I believe in Jesus. They're going to have to stand before him sooner or later. You can't get out of this universe without doing that, you know. So it's a pity. Kind of thing. Let's go back over this two minds thing. Let's hit the Bible references real quick, because these are pretty interesting. This is in 1 Corinthians 2:6-16. I'll bet we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world into our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had not known, and they had not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that which God hath prepared for them that love him. For God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For that which man knoweth, the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God known to man, but the Spirit of God. Which things also we speak, not in the world which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches. He's talking about the Theotogester there, actually. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Right.
Men don't realize spiritual thing because they're so tied up in their own physical world, right? They don't listen to that thought adjuster. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Nobody, right? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, that's through the Spirit of truth. Okay.
Right.
The next verse is basically the same thing over twice, but the first one's in Luke and the second one's in Matthew. Luke 16:13, Matthew 6:24. No servant can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What they talking about that? They're talking about spiritual and physical, aren't they? Not so much riches, but the physical world compared to the spiritual world. You either love one and hate the other, or vice versa, right? So we have to make a conscious decision to allow that adjuster to speak to us, don't we? And try to bring our world more spiritual, because we get tied up in the physical every day. I mean, if you're living in this world, how can you not get tied up in it? It's, you know, we get bombarded by the news and politics and sickness and health and all these other things. You know, it's hard to keep our mind on a spiritual path at all, isn't it? So there's quite a lesson to learn from this whole section, I thought it was a really good section. Okay, the persistence of true values. Who would like to take that one? Rodney, would you like to take that one tonight?
I'll do that.
All right.
No, I keep thinking that the evolutionary worlds are in reality nurseries. That's where souls are born.
That's true. We are just big nurseries, aren't we? Most of the planets at our stage of evolution are just nurseries.
We're all little kids.
Yeah, we really are, and we think we know so much, don't we? We run around with our chest, you know, we're so cool, and we really don't know anything when it comes right to it. Yeah.
Number six, the persistence of true values. Adjusters never fail. Nothing worth surviving is ever lost. Every meaningful value in every will creature is certain of survival, irrespective of the survival or the non-survival of the meaning, discovering, or evaluating personality. And so it is. A mortal creature may reject survival. Still, the life experience is not wasted. The eternal adjuster carries the worthwhile features of such an apparent life of failure over into some other world, and there bestows these surviving meanings and values upon some higher type of mortal mind. One of survival capacity. No worthwhile experience ever happens in vain. No true meaning or real value ever perishes.
Okay, do y'all realize the importance of that paragraph? That means all these people that are living on this planet that have advanced adjusters, right? And these advanced adjusters have previous experience with people who have not survived, right? Or were spirit fused, one of the two, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's another one. Lee, which one? What did I miss? Spirit fused, sun fused. Sun fused, spirit fused, right. But those experiences are carried on to us, which we don't know about in this world, but in some future time on the mansion worlds, we will realize this experience. So, but the importance of this is all these people on this planet that choose not to survive, even on this planet, all those experiences and all those true meanings and values that they have experienced, those will go on to whom? They will go on to someone else on another planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who does choose to survive. So, you know, when you look at these people walking around that seem like the walking dead on our planet, they really, in a sense, it doesn't matter because those experiences will be transferred on to someone else where it will matter, right?
Right. So, and all the experience is important for God the Supreme to...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To come into full existence.
Full existence. That's right. That's right. So nothing is wasted, if you think about it. Nothing whatsoever. You know? And I like to think of the animals that way, too. They're not wasted either, because their experiences pass on through the creative mother spirit, right? So, it's kind of interesting thing, you know? It makes you think twice about coming to the conclusion that your life is a waste, because it really isn't. No matter how bad you think it really is, everything is important. You know? Every detail is important. You know, there is no such thing as a wasted life. None. Not a single being on this planet. Right?
That's right.
That's right. So that should make us love them that much more, shouldn't it? If you think about it. You know, even the ones that don't believe anything, even the ones that make us angry, even the ones that believe in things that you think are just totally ridiculous, we have to love them anyway, because it's their lack of understanding and the lack of knowledge, and they will come into that knowledge in the mansion worlds if they get there, right? So, it's sad they can't know it in this life, you know, because they can, it's just they haven't explored it, you know. Okay, let's keep going.
As related to fusing candidates, if a mystery monitor is deserted by the mortal associate, if the human partner declines to pursue the ascending career when released by natural death or prior thereto, the adjuster carries away everything of survival value which has evolved in the mind of that non-surviving creature. If an adjuster should repeatedly fail to attain fusion personality because of the non-survival of successive human subjects, and if this monitor should subsequently be personalized, all the acquired experience of having indwelt and mastered all these mortal minds would become the actual possession of such a newly personalized adjuster, an endowment to be enjoyed and utilized throughout all future ages. A personalized adjuster of this order is a composite assembly of all the survival traits of all his former creature hosts.
Now, think about this. That means that we are the same. We are those composite person too, aren't we?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we retain not only our own personality and our own experiences, but we get to learn these experiences of the adjuster before he indwelt us, right? When mm-hmm. we fuse with him, which is kind of amazing if you think about it.
But I have a question about this, because there's a lot of people that believe that they have lived lives before mm-hmm. and they have memories. Very vivid memories of previous lives.
Right.
And could that be in relationship to this paragraph here of having an adjuster that has imparted all those memories into this person? Or this any particular person that feels that they have lived many lived previous lives?
All right. I have two opinions about that, Bill. One is, I don't know. The second is, I do know this. I know that no adjuster on this planet, according to the book, has lived a life on this planet, right? Had an experience on this planet before. That's what they tell us. They told us last week, right?
Right.
So if these people are remembering past lives, number one is either not of this planet, right? It's of a different planet somewhere else, and they're just seeping through memories from someone else's previous life, or it's their own creative imagination, which it's possible it could be either one. Because people are very suggestive, you know, I mean, I can tell you that from studying hypnosis. You can suggest things to people and they will believe that experience actually happened. I mean, hook, line, and sinker. I've seen it done before. And so it could be either or both, or I don't know. You got it? Does that make sense? That's the best I can tell you. My opinion is it may be partially some memories from another life or another world, who knows, or it could be their own creative imagination, or it could be something totally different that I am not aware of and don't know, you know? So, but it's a good question, you know? Yeah. It really is. It's something to speculate, but, you know, I wouldn't take a lot of stock in anything, but if someone tells you that they lived in this world as a specific person like Caesar or something like that, I'd have a tendency to doubt it, you know?
Yeah.
I really
would. Well, the Urantia book specifically says that nobody has lived here before.
No.
That you go from this life to the mansion world.
Yeah.
And that you cannot come back for...
There's no such thing as reincarnation. Right.
Yeah. That's what they say.
Yeah.
But there's other worlds that are very similar to ours.
There are, but what's the likelihood that you'd have experiences so exact to be exactly like our world? Because, you know, every person is totally different, right? We're unique. Yeah. And to have a similar experience so close that you would remember specifics like these people state, according to the Urantia book, it doesn't happen, basically.
Well, you know, I think about deja vu as well.
Yeah. But deja vu, I think, is more of a chemical thing in your brain more than anything. They've done some studies on that, and they think they've discovered some chemicals that can cause you to feel like you've lived an experience before when you actually haven't, you know. But everyone's experienced that at one time or another. You say, have I done this before? Have I been here before? You know. I think every human being has had that one time or another. I think it's just the mix. You know, we got a lot of electrical chemical things going on in our brain constantly. Plus, you know, chemicals affect us so much. You know, alcohol, drugs, sugars, processed food. You know, it's amazing any of us are saying. You know, it comes down to it. So, anyway.
Well, it could glitch in the matrix.
Could be.
Well, you know, they actually talk about a matrix in your Urantia book. They call our light, the material world, they call it an energy mind matrix of God.
And if you think about
it. I heard that after seeing the movies. I went, whoa.
Yeah. And if you think about the Urantia beings are a different matrix than we are. You know, they're on a different you know, they vibrated a different frequency. You know, we can't see them. They're still out there, you know, and the same thing with the midwares. We don't see them. They're out there too. So, you know, there's a lot of possibilities. So I'm not going to poo-pah anything. If you know what I mean?
It's hard for us too, because our poor little brains are so primitive that, you know, higher concepts are so above what we understand that to try and speculate on things like that is almost kind of useless, really, because we can't understand so much.
Yeah, and we have a hard enough time even understanding basic concepts they're trying to teach us in this book, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going, Rodney.
All right. When adjusters of long universe experience volunteer to dwell divine sons on bestowal missions, they full well know that personality attainment can never be achieved through this service, But often does the Father of Spirits grant personality to these volunteers and establish them as directors of their kind. These are the personalities honored with authority on divinity. And their unique natures embody the mosaic humanity of their multiple experiences of mortal indwelling, and also the spirit transcript of the human divinity of the paradise bestowal son of the terminal indwelling experience.
Do you see why they would be in charge and on of Divinington, you know, with authority on Divinington? Because you're talking about creator sons that have been, you know, their personality, you know, have been recorded by these adjusters. So, you know, you can imagine how intelligent these things must be. And not only that, they've had previous experience indwelling other beings also. So they could be pretty authoritative about what they say and what they've experienced. So I would want them in charge of me if I was there, let me put it that way. You know? All right, let's keep going.
The activities of adjusters in your local universe are directed by the personalized adjuster of Michael of Nebadon. That very mother guided him step by step when he lived human life in the flesh of Joshua ben Joseph. Faithful to his trust was this extraordinary adjuster, and wisely did this valiant monitor direct the human nature, ever guiding the mortal mind of the paradise son in the choosing of the path of the Father's perfect will. This adjuster had previously served with Aventa Ezedek in the days of Abraham and had engaged in tremendous exploits, both previous to this dwelling and between the mystical experiences.
Now, can y'all imagine this? You're talking about an adjuster that was the adjuster for Machaventia before Jesus, you know, and we all know, we just studied all the things that he did, right? I mean, right. We can't even imagine how intelligent he must have been. And then he comes along, he goes to other things in between and comes up and is the adjuster for Michael. I mean, I can't even imagine how intelligent that adjuster must be. An experience, you know, talk about knowing the Father's will. Boy, you know, that's just the epitome, right? All right.
This adjuster did maybe try it in Jesus' human mind. That mind, in each of life's recurring situations, contained a consecrated dedication to the Father's will, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." Such decisive consecration constitutes the true passport from the limitations of human nature to the finality of divine attainment.
You know, this is kind of interesting to me that, you know, when I read this paragraph, that we're talking about a adjuster, a fragment of God. And even the fragment of God in Christ himself, it still has to say, not my will, but your will be done, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? All right, let's keep going, Rodney.
And the same adjuster now reflects in the inscrutable nature of his mighty personality, the pre-baptismal humanity of Joshua and Joseph. The eternal and living transcript of the eternal and living values, which the greatest of all your actions created out of the humble circumstances of commonplace life as it was lived to the complete exhaustion of the spiritual values attainable in mortal experience.
Now, why was this the pre-baptismal humanity of Joshua and Joseph?
That's when he was baptized, the adjuster met him?
Yeah, that's right. That's when the adjuster was personalized, right? Right after his baptism, right?
The adjuster was
Otherwise, they would have fused.
Right, he would have fused if
and,
not.
And they couldn't do that. That
yeah.
was not permitted.
Yeah.
Everything is permanent value, which is entrusted to an adjuster is assured eternal survival. In certain instances, the monitor holds these possessions for the bestowal of a mortal mind of future knowing. In others, and upon personalization, these surviving and conserved realities are held in trust for future utilization in the service of the architect of the master universe.
I can't even imagine what that's for, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? All right, let's take a quick look at these Bible references, too. And, oh, these are the ones that repeatedly come over and over and over, not my will, but the Father's will be done. And they have them from John, Luke, Mark, Matthew. Even down through the crucifixion, this is Mark 14:36, and he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." You know, this is Jesus continually turning over his will for the will of God, you know. And they go on and on and on. I'll let y'all read those at your leisure. It's kind of interesting how you go back and read the Bible references, how these things come alive after you know what they're talking about, isn't it?
Right.
All right. Let's go on to the last section in this 109. Bill, would you like to take that one up?
Okay.
We hadn't had any women read tonight. Just a minute.
No.
Would one of the ladies like to read? I don't want to. Anybody? Volunteer?
I think Bill would be just fine to read.
Okay. All right. Go for it, Bill.
Thank you. 7. Destiny of personalized adjustments. We cannot state whether or not non-adjuster father fragments are personalizable. But you have been informed that personality is the sovereign free will bestowal of the universal father. As far as we know, the adjuster type of father fragment attains personality only by the acquirement of personal attributes through service ministry to a personal being. These personalized adjusters are at home on divinity, where they instruct and direct their personal pre-personal associates.
Okay, do you understand why a personalized adjuster is, they're talking about a personalized adjuster here. The only way an adjuster becomes personalized is through fusion with another individual, right, like us,
right,
or is personalized by the Father, right? But neither one of those even can become personalized until they've gone through the service ministry of being an adjuster in a person. Do you see what it's saying there? In other words, they all have to, before they become personalized adjuster, have to have indwelt a human or a human subject that didn't survive, at least, before they can even become personalized, right? Because that's the only way they gain that experiential part of their being, right?
But, Roger, once they become personalized, that means fusion.
No, it doesn't mean fusion, okay? It means they're personalized. In other words, it's just like they have been fused, though, Are you following me? Because
the Father gives them a personality.
The Father gives them a personality. That's right.
The Father gives them a personality.
Right. They don't fuse with a personality. They already have experience from previous indwellings, right? So they have the experiential part, but they can't fuse with that experiential part because that person did not survive. So that's why the Father has to give them a personality.
Well, but not at all. Certain, I mean, we have adjusters that had prior experience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, adjusters usually inhabit a number of people before they either find one to fuse with or they're given their own personality from the Father.
Right.
They don't just have one indwelling and then are given personality.
Yeah.
They have many.
So after another an adjuster, for some reason that cannot fuse, is given personality.
Right. Yeah, and he takes...
I'm starting to get a lot of feedback here. Does anyone else?
Same here.
To indicate that a whole lot of people didn't survive.
Yeah, a whole lot of beings didn't survive. That's right. They would have to. But, all right, now keep in mind, a lot of this experience is done on very barbaric beginning planets. You know, think of all the beings that came before us even on our planet that were so barbaric they had no concept of spiritual things at all, right? And so...
They had a thought adjuster?
Many of them did. They were given thought adjusters. If they made a moral decision, as soon as they make a moral decision, many of them were given thought adjusters. Some of them weren't, though, too. That's the interesting part. But before they, almost according to what the book said, all the adjusters on this planet all were experienced adjusters before they came here. So that means they had to have served on other planets, other universes or something, maybe even in other super universes. We don't know for sure, right? Because Divinington serves all seven of the super universes, remember? So they could have come from any of the seven of the super universes, which makes this kind of interesting. You know, we all have adjusters that are experienced. We could all seven, there's seven of us online tonight, we could all have adjusters from seven different super universes. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Millie, you maybe have an adjuster from universe number six, you know?
I'll take it.
And I may have one from universe number two.
I'm giving you a hard time. Stick with me. You know,
that's right. That's right.
And they probably served in many different universes.
They probably did. They probably did.
Right.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, we don't know anything for sure. Wouldn't it be interesting if we get to the Mansion Worlds and discover that all of our adjusters had to serve in all seven of the super universes to be under all seven of the seven master spirits? Wouldn't that be fun? So that's, you know, we just never know about these things. All right, let's keep
going. You know, Roger, also this paragraph tells us that there's other fragments of God that are not adjusters.
That's right. That's right. That aren't adjusters. We keep forgetting that there's millions and millions and millions of other beings that the book does not tell us about, right? It's not important for our ascension plan, right? So they don't even mention it. So there's beings out there we don't even have a concept of, you know, we probably won't until we get to the Mansion Worlds anyway. So the possibilities are endless, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Roger, could you redial? Because I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Sure, I'll redial everybody. Hang on.
Thank you.
Okay, we should be back. That must be Frank.
Yeah.
Bill's coming up.
Sorry.
That's all right. We got everybody back?
I hope so.
Okay, yeah. Millie, you there?
What about Millie?
We got six people up above me, so.
Six people circling.
Okay.
Outside.
Diane is there, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I think we're back. Let's keep going then.
Personalized thought adjusters are the untrammeled, unassigned, and sovereign stabilizers and compensators of the far-flung universe of universes. They combine the creator and creature experience, existential and experiential. They are conjoined time and eternity beings. They associate the personal and the personal in universe administration.
Okay, so we get the experience of both worlds that way, don't we? Both the, yeah.
Okay. Personalized adjusters are the all-wise and powerful executives of the architects of the master universe. They are the personal agents of the full ministry of the universal Father, personal, pre-personal, and super-personal. They are the personal ministers of the extraordinary, the unusual, and the unexpected throughout all the realms of the transcendental, absentite spheres of the domain of God, the ultimate. Even to the levels of God, the absolute.
And that's probably so far above us, we can't even comprehend it, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I have trouble trying to comprehend God, the ultimate.
Yeah, well, or perceive
God, the absolute.
Yeah.
Versus God, you know.
Or even absentite beings at all, absentite spheres, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the seven super universes, that's where God the Supreme is developing. In the outer universes that are forming, that's where God the Ultimate will come to fruition. And then beyond that, I don't think anyone, maybe God does, but most of the beings of the universes don't know how God the Absolute is going to come about.
Yeah,
that's so far away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't even speculate on it because they don't know what to speculate.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
They say, we do not really know.
Yeah, we don't really know. That's right. All right.
Okay. They are the exclusive beings of the universes who embrace within their being all the known relationships of personality. They are omnipersonal. They are before personality. They are personality, and they are after personality.
That kind of covers it, doesn't it?
Yeah. They minister the personality of the universal Father, as in the eternal past, the eternal present, and the eternal future.
And that comes back to the fact that there is no time for God, right? I mean, there's no such thing as time, according to God. God doesn't. Right. Everything just is to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about last week about how it is, with free will, and how would God know what your decisions would be?
Right.
Since he doesn't really exist in time at all. There's something, it says he sits in the circle of eternity. That's one way they describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He already knows the decisions we're going to make, even though we have free will to make them, you know, which is, talk about a catch 22 situation. Try to run that through your mind and figure it out, you know.
It's amazing how quickly the adjuster and the Father really communicate, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's kind of funny, too, and that's one of those things where, you know, all adjusters are interconnected. They can communicate across seven super universes instantaneous through the Father, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is beyond conceiving, really, you know?
So, right.
Well,
they essentially are the Father.
They are the Father. That's right.
So mm-hmm. it would make sense that they can communicate.
Yep. Okay.
Existential personality on the order of the infinite and absolute. The Father bestowed upon the eternal Son, but he chose to reserve for his own ministry the experiential personality of the type of the personalized adjuster bestowed upon the existential three-personal adjuster. And they are thus both destined to the future eternal super-personality of the transcendental ministry of the absonite realm of the ultimate, the supreme ultimate, even to the level of the ultimate absolute.
Okay, explain that one. I've got a great big question mark out here in the margin by this one.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
obviously, I stumbled over it somewhere else, and it mm-hmm. didn't make sense. I just put a question mark there. Somebody will have to explain it.
Yeah. Well, if anybody can explain that, I'd like to hear it too. Because
exactly,
I am.
The parts of it aren't too bad.
Parts of it aren't too.
Talking about existential personality. I mean, that would be on the order of the Trinity, since they're existential.
Yeah.
As opposed to experiential personality, which, you know, the adjusters are getting experience by indwelling mortal beings.
Yeah.
So apparently they don't have that existential personality like the Trinity would.
Yeah. Y'all keep talking for a minute. I need to check on the cat real quick here.
Talk among yourselves.
Yeah.
There was.
It's amazing. Roger can check on the cat and not leave the room.
He's frozen on my.
I only have Lee's picture. I don't have Lee's.
Yeah,
video.
I turned off my camera for now.
Yeah, I had to go tend to my cat. He was meowing, and I thought he wanted to go out.
Sorry, y'all. He was choking. He had.
So I gave him a treat that shut him up for a while.
He's having trouble breathing a little bit. He's been doing so good, and he just started to skin tonight. So, anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah, Lee, you were going to explain that paragraph for us. No.
well, I was just saying that you know, I can understand the difference between existential personality and experiential personality.
Yeah, me too. But when you start to talk about super personality, the transcendental ministry of the absonite realms of the ultimate, that you lost me there.
Well, you know, remember when we were trying to study the foreword?
Uh-huh.
We were talking about the absonite realms, which are the
outer space levels. Right.
Of God, the ultimate. I'm not sure what they mean by supreme, ultimate, and ultimate absolute, though, unless those are intermediate.
No, I think ultimate absolute is referring to out past the outer space levels, what they're talking about there.
Well, probably.
But we don't have any idea.
Between ultimate and absolute, and the other one between supreme and ultimate. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep going.
What it means to us, who knows?
Who knows? That's right.
Probably doesn't mean much to us.
Yeah. I think he's all right.
Okay. Seldom are the personalized adjusters seen at large in the universes. Occasionally, they consult with the ancients of days, and sometimes the personalized adjusters of the sevenfold Creator Son come to the headquarters world of the constellations to confer with the veranda deck rulers.
Okay, those, you remember those are the three most highs, right? In our universe?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When the planetary veranda deck observer of Urantia, the most high custodian, who not long since assumed an emergency regency of your world, asserted his authority in the presence of the resident governor general, he began his emergency administration of Urantia with a full staff of his own choosing. He immediately assigned to all his associates and assistants the planetary duties, but he did not choose the three personalized adjusters who appeared in his presence the instant he assumed the regency. He did not even know they would thus appear, for they did not so manifest their divine presence at the time of a previous regency. And the Most High Regent did not assign service or designate duties for these volunteer personalized adjusters. Nevertheless, these three omnipersonal beings were among the most active of the numerous orders of celestial beings then serving on Urantia.
Okay, this is a great example of how our planet is ruled outside our scope, isn't it? You know,
mm-hmm.
we think that men run this planet, but in the background we have the celestial beings really controlling things. When it comes right down to it, right? They allow us to think that we're running things. I think that's what it is. But
it's nice to know that someone as high as a Verandadet could be surprised.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I was thinking the same thing.
Really, you know, not knowing that that these personalized adjusters would just appear. Since, you know, of course, you remember the Verandadet are local universe creations, right? Created by the Creator Sons, right? Yeah. So I guess the Father decided, well, I'm going to stick my two cents in on this one too, you know.
Apparently it's 3 cents.
Yeah, 3 cents, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
By sending some personalized adjusters, which is kind of interesting. But it still reinforces me in the fact that the worlds are not run by humans, really. It's run by the celestial beings, and they just allow us to populate and run and act like we run the planet, you know. But it comes right down to it. They're in charge. We just don't realize they're in charge, right?
So. Mm-hmm.
What
do they say, that God doesn't play dice with the universe or something like that?
Mm-mm. No, there is a control in the universe. That's right. It's kind of reassuring. Yeah.
It surprised me that they didn't intervene on the two atomic bombs that were dropped in Japan. That was horrible.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. They didn't, but they must have had a purpose in not doing that, if you think about it. Because it did change the war, if you think about it. It changed what happened on the planet tremendously. Because if they had not dropped those bombs, we would have probably been run by Hitler and the Chinese, or Japanese.
Japan.
At that time, we would have all been under a socialistic government, the whole world, you know. We came a lot closer than people realize. It's amazing how close we came to being ruled by a socialistic government. And so, you know, it makes you wonder, is that the direction we're going now? Is that the right direction we should be going? Or should we be heading another direction? That's the question. So, anyway.
I think we need to turn around.
Yeah. We may need to take an about face and reevaluate what we're doing. Okay, mm-hmm. We got one more paragraph here. Let's try to get through it.
Personalized adjusters perform a wide range of services for numerous orders of universe personalities, but we are not permitted to discuss these ministries with adjuster indwelt evolutionary creatures. These extraordinary human divinities are among the most remarkable personalities of the entire grand universe, and no one dares to predict what their future ministries may be, presented by a solitary messenger of Orvanta.
Okay. And that's the end of paper 109. Now, with your permission, I am not going to get into 110 because I'd like to start fresh on that next time, I think. So I think we're going to stop there tonight, and we'll talk about a few things here. Let me stop the recordings, and we'll discuss what we got going on and everything. Thank you, everyone, for coming and staying with us again tonight, learning. Please come back and see us again.